everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! It's episode 44. Isn't that exciting? Really, who thought we would do this long? I didn't. Yeah. Paddles is just opening a beer. Look what I'm drinking out of. Can you see this giant? Well, first of all, this beer, I loved the can. It's called Idle Speed Salted Lime Lager, which is a wonderful summer drink. It's a Palmetto Brewing deal, South Carolina. And then a termite sent me this mug. I'm never going to say people's last names. Paula sent, and it says Night Night Termite on it. Isn't that wonderful? It's very cool. And then also some teas that are taped to this. From 2001, so I have some golf tees. They're not broken. They still work. So that's a shout out because I went to the post office box, and this person, and I think it was Denise, wrote a very nice letter. Yes, Denise. I will not say last names. And look what, and one for Paddles, yeah! a Bucky's hat, and Bucky's koozies. This is why I like it when people go, what the fuck is this? And then I get to tell them all about the gas station. Greatest place on earth. They had music and alcohol in there. I'd probably never leave. I love it there. The jerky bar. Who would think it? And then a guy, Joel, from down in the Ozarks, back, well, Sunrise Beach, sent me this very crazy little ornament where it looks like a fat lady. That's sort of a circus clown, like those old strange clowns, though. And she fell into a martini glass. It's very New Orleans-y, Mardi Gras, but it made me laugh. So that's fun. We'll leave that right there. A strange clown, meaning they're not doing the real makeup. You know how the French always make shit weird?
Yeah.
They take, like, their clowns aren't, like, normal. I think all clowns are weird, but, yeah. It's not my thing, but, that's like even creepier. That's like something out of American Horror Story. But I like it, and it's colorful, and it's definitely going on a Christmas tree. It's kind of heavy, though. Maybe I'll just have to put it on. Oh, and this one. This is the craziest thing I have ever gotten. And it's now I'm going to send them to people. And now you termites will know you can do this, too, and we will all thank Alec for that. This box says, knock, knock, guess who? And then you open it up, and it said, an anonymous potato sent a present for you. There's a website, and they're inside this cute little box. If you can't see it, if you're listening, it's a very cute box, and there's like confetti paper, and there's a real potato, which now it's already sprouted some stuff, so I don't think I can eat it, but I'm going to plant it. It says, dear Mama Termite, you're a far away funny person, and been my favorite comedian, Alec the Termite. And then somehow there's a picture of me on the other side of the potato. Yeah. So I don't know where they. I don't know how they would have gotten a sticker.
Don't wreck it.
I'm not gonna wreck it. But if you guys want to send somebody a potato, I don't. I guess you can put the message on there. I'm not sure. He might. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't gone to the website, but I think it's funny, especially for people that actually like potatoes. So thank you, termites. All of those things were received.
We're gonna put it in the show notes. The P.O. box.
The P.O. box. The. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, they do yell at you, Paddles, because they're not going to yell at me. It falls to you. Mom, you got to take one for the team.
They'll know where the
you want this to keep going on or not, Paddles?
I don't know.
Don't say you don't know, because if you don't do it, I don't do it. Because I don't know.
No, you don't.
What are we eating? Okay, so I saw these, and I thought, they're probably going to be gross, but I'll try it. And then, really, it's for kids. So, well, no. Krispy Kreme donut, original glazed donut. It's not popcorn. It's like almost that other.
Smart food?
It's kind of like popcorn.
Gross.
It tastes like a Krispy Kreme donut, though. They kind of nailed it. I love Krispy Kreme donuts. Hot ones. Cold's pretty good, but I don't like the rest of their donuts. Only their glaze.
We should put that in the microwave
and
see what happens.
This? Yeah, it's all right. If you like Krispy Kreme, smart food. Krispy Kreme original glazed donut. There you go. Something to think about. Let me put this aside. Because this desk This desk is entirely too crowded. And this just made me laugh because I get excited about any kind of Captain Crunch news. It's probably my favorite cereal of all time. Maybe Fruit Loops, maybe Fruity Pebbles, maybe Honey Nut Cheerios. That's my top five. But now they have it in stars, star shapes, instead of the little boxes. Yeah, and it's also red, white, and blue. So if you want 4th of July celebratory cereal, Captain Crunch is at it again. I will save that for the nieces and nephews, even though I'd like to eat every goddamn bit of it. I won't. And then I got this Hidden Valley Ranch, the original restaurant-inspired secret sauce. Okay? It's orange. And they have it here pictured on tacos. Restaurant. It just says restaurant-inspired secret sauce. Spicy. Well,
that usually means Thousand Island.
It looks like Thousand Island. Same color. But I like spicy, but this is too much. It's going to crush whatever you have. I can't go with Hidden Valley on this top. If you like, I mean, it just keeps coming to you. Think you've eaten it. And it just keeps whacking you in the brain. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's not for me. But if you're a spicy person and you want some secret sauce ranch, well, Hidden Valley's been around since 1954. Huh. I finally found something older than me. Great. So that's all the little housekeeping notes there, Termites. And what are we moving on to? Oh, well, I don't have any news about any of the queens. Nothing. They didn't do nothing. Maybe they're on summer vacation.
Tanya's on tour.
Tanya's out on some dates, yeah. Stevie is doing some strange one-off things. I didn't see nothing about Shaka. And Cher is working on her biopic.
Yeah.
So she's busy.
It's
going
to be great.
Yeah. Exciting that you can still do those while you're alive. okay. Update. Oh, my God. So last week, Termites, we were talking about Flaming Hot Cheetos. Remember? And did the guy really invent them that said he did, or did he not? Did he not invent them like some other people are claiming? Well, what are the odds that less than a week later, this is unbelievable, a woman, Luz, I don't know how you say it, Ray, R-E-A, a litigation assistant, that's her job in real life, she was arrested at the El Paso Zoo because she jumped in the spider monkey deal and tried to feed them Flaming Hot Cheetos. Now, the coincidence of that, this is why. The woman who was caught on video jumping over a barrier to feed Flaming Hot Cheetos to spider monkeys in a zoo enclosure has been arrested. You look at her picture, she looks extremely normal. There doesn't look anything strange or she's 26 years old. She was booked on criminal trespassing. She was taken to the El Paso County Detention Facility on $1,500 bond. I've been to El Paso. It's not this boring that you have to resort to this. This is something I might do in other places I've been where you're like, I'm so goddamn bored. What if I got my friend and had Cheetos and jumped in the spider monkey pit? Well, listen to what she had to do to get in it. But she was attempting to feed them hot Cheetos, but it's still unclear if they actually ate any. The director of the zoo, Joe Montizano, told Newsweek. From the video, they were way more disturbed with her being there than concerned with the food. I'm sure they were freaked out. Like, people just don't jump into their pit. I think they're probably used to the people that feed them, but then they're like, whoa, who's this chick? The young lady decided to hop a fence. This is what she had to do. Climb through some bushes, drop down into a 4-foot moat, walk across the moat, then try to feed the spider monkeys. They're typically between 14 and 26 inches long, and they can weigh around 13 and a half pounds, according to National Geographic. They can actually become violent towards humans. So 13 pounds, that's like a really fat one-year-old. But,
yeah.
Right? Like a little drunk. But picture if, you know, there's 10 of them. Then that's 130 pounds of monkey coming at you.
It's a flash mob.
It is a flash mob. And I would be freaked out because monkeys, they can bite and they can throw things. They're very talented. Anything that we could have done good, get as oh, so they said they she took an unnecessary risk of exposing them to COVID. I'd be less worried about you didn't bring anything for the monkeys to drink and you fed them hot Cheetos and their mouths are probably like, what the fuck was that? What is she? They're not used to that kind of stuff. It takes years to build trust with these animals. And for someone to come in here for a 5-minute video on Instagram or whatever just ruins years of work. Maybe it was TikTok. Holla, holla. Was it TikTok? I don't know. It definitely was on Instagram. It's going to take a long time to get back to where they were with training. So they're real, the zoo's really mad. But, you know, here's another thing, zoo people. The spider monkeys are fine. Maybe a little shaken up by the incident, but they are fine. Not to mention their tongues are burning off if they ate the Flaming Hot Cheeto. And what do you have for them to drink? Did you bring a chaser? Maybe some Diet Orange Soda? Nothing.
Diet Orange Soda, God.
Well, that's what I would drink. After the video went viral, the Lovett law firm distanced itself from Ray's actions. We learned this morning that the individual who was trespassing the spider monkey exhibit at the zoo was an employee and was terminated immediately. I don't know if you got a fire, but, you know, you could at least tell her to explain it. Like, what the yeah. fuck? That's kind of a really good lunch conversation, you know, if you're the other lawyer people. The firm has always been a strong supporter of animals and advocacy. We absolutely do not condone this irresponsible and reckless behavior. You know, she didn't jump in and shoot them. I mean, it's not right. We support the El Paso Zoo and our thoughts go out to the spider monkeys, Libby and Sunday. That's their names. And we hope that they recover from this traumatic experience. Your friends will rat you out in a heartbeat. We had about 8 to 6 people call on Sunday. I know more about this young lady than I probably do about my own daughter. So the other Zoomer kids, I think is 26 still the Zoomer? I forgot my own chart.
Yeah.
I think so. The zoo plans to alter the fences and install new security cameras to aim to prevent incidents like this in the future. We've increased our patrols and have volunteers to watch more closely, but we might have to increase the fence size, which will block the view. Oh. It sounds like they don't have this very well organized either, though. I mean, maybe just a whole different enclosure. I don't know. Are the spider monkeys that big of a deal?
I don't know.
I don't either. The Times details, this is not the first security incident at the zoo in recent months. In March, another viral video showed a parent lowering their child to the wrong side of the bear in the, of the chimp exhibit. That has fucked up. Chimps will go crazy on your ass. Remember Travis the chimp? Remember Travis that ate that lady that was the friend of that lady?
Yeah, because he didn't love that lady. He loved his lady.
He loved his owner, but he was mean to her. My favorite quote of that whole thing ever. It was somewhere in Connecticut Travis lived, I believed, and he went into a town on his own, and they went and interviewed people. He had gotten out, like, a few times, not just once, and they went and interviewed this one lady, and she said, I'm familiar with Travis the chimp. Every time I've seen him in town, he's been a perfect gentleman. What? What does that mean? Did he, like, tip his cap? Hello? Good day, my lady. Like, I just picture some British person in a tuxedo and a perfect, how can a chimp be a perfect gentleman? Did he open the door? The chimps, to get in a chimp thing is a whole different, oh my God. Update! I was so nervous that I was going to lose my money because I bet on that Medina horse, but I bet it to come in second. And I bet $50 and I was paid $260 for that. So that was a big little secret win there. But he was cheating. And he won. And that's that Bob Baffert guy, the guy with the white hair and the freaky sunglasses, who I did see on an airplane once. I was so excited. I'm like, that's the horse guy. That's the horse guy. Nobody cared. I cared. It was like a star sighting. I'm like, look. And I couldn't think of his name. I'm like, BB something. BB, 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 Bob Baffert. Yeah. So they're going to take it away. He's been banned for 3 years from racing. And then I was like, can they get the money back? They've already paid. I already spent it.
Right.
I'd like to see him try.
Come get your $270.
Yeah. Where's Miss Madigan? I'm sorry that horse was cheating. Well, fuck all you. You know, that's on you. You paid me. You paid my bet. But I thought there's probably no way. But yeah, it was confirmed that the test was right because the test came back positive, and then they're like, you know, whatever drugs he was on, I don't know.
Spending on beer and Cheetos.
The good news is I'm not, I am not having to give my money back. So I'm pretty, and then, you know what? Too bad, Bob. If you're cheating, I'm glad. I watched those horse races, like the big ones, and I don't know. There's a lot of that community that seems douchey. Yeah, just like, I don't know, not everybody, but those guys that went to Brown, was it one of fancy school, Princeton or Brown or something, and they all have the same outfit on, they bought a horse together. Because when haven't all of you and your friends went in and bought it? I mean, come on.
No.
Update! Do you guys remember Harry Reid, the politician from Utah? Last time I saw Harry, which has been years, on TV, he had fallen off a bicycle, and it looked like somebody had beat him in the face with a bat, like about 85 times. Because he's an old turtle, and you can't be falling off bikes. At least he said that's what happened. And I tended to believe that, but I thought, yeah. Oh, well, Harry Reid. This is an update about our UFO thing. Harry Reid has pointed the finger of blame firmly in the direction of the Kremlin after it was confirmed that the leaked footage was real. The footage about the UFO going into the ocean that was swarming naval ships. The Pentagon revealed to The Sun Online that the latest video shows a mysterious craft buzzing warships off the U.S. coast. Those are the ones that have been going around lately a lot and popping up, the ones I was talking about last week. It was captured by a U.S. Navy destroyer using night vision cameras and showed several mysterious flashing objects in the sky. Harry Reid told... This is what... Okay. As a politician, I'm sure, like, I don't know, with an entertainer or something, your publicist will say, you know, here's the people that want to do an interview. Do you want to do them? Or here's the podcast. You know, you get a say-so. Harry's been out of work so long. Giggle how old he is, will you, Paddles?
Yeah.
He spoke with Mystery Wire UFO news site. Now, I would do that, but I'm not an ex-senator. What is that? Mystery Wire UFO news? They're coming in swarms, like bees, like insects. So many of them. They had as many... So he's blaming this all on the Russians. He really thinks... but he believes even the U.S. government may not know who's actually behind the mysterious phenomenon. The latest strange photos were leaked from a Pentagon UFO probe by the UAP Task Force, which has been gathering evidence for a report that's due this June, which is the one that came out that said it's all real. Now, here's the thing. If all of this shit is Russia, then we are in more trouble to me than if they're aliens. Because at least with the aliens, we got a 50-50 shot. Maybe they're nice. And Lewis says, well, how would you even know they're nice? I'm like, well, you know, if they got out of their ship and they had beer from their country or their planet, cake. If you're nice, you bring a pie.
He's 82. If you're nice, you bring a pie?
Yeah, if you're nice and you don't know people, take a pie.
Take wine.
Nobody ever, well, some people don't drink alcohol, Paddles.
More for us,
yes. That would be true. So Harry Reid... All of the theories. If you really think this is Russia and they're capable of this shit, then we should just give up now. Because the crap that's going on these films, most of the sightings bear similarities. Some are TikTok-shaped while others are triangular or circular. First, there have been many such incidents about the ones people currently know about. The clue here is that in 2019, the U.S. Navy issued guidance to its pilots, the details are classified, telling them what to do if they encounter UFOs. That implies we're dealing with more than just isolated incidents. Yeah, now there's a manual on what to do if the you know, tic-tac one comes at you. That one, it looks, I would call it more like a lorazepam. It's shaped like a pill. But okay, you want to go with Tic Tac? Fine. Because it can flip if you remember when you used to play football with like paper and you'd flick it, it goes around like that, like a football. It flies like a football. The one craft that they keep reporting and they have films of it. Harry's thinking all of this is
spiral.
The other, yeah, it spirals. The other one can go up and then boom, like an Osprey, but a billion times faster. Secondly, I'm sure the U.S. military intelligence community knows more about this than they're saying in public. Mr. Pope points out the acknowledgement in the freedom to response to the Freedom of Information Act request about videos classified as secret and briefing classified top secret relating to all this supports his conclusion. The best estimate, maybe, would be probably hypersonic drones. Well, maybe. And then he says, but the question is, who's operating them?
Right.
Is it another part of the U.S. military by another nation? Probably Russia. Is it by another part of the U.S. military or by another nation? Probably Russia or China. Or even by extraterrestrials. Well, why don't we shoot one? If you think it's just a drone and there's no one in it or being in it, shoot it.
Yeah.
And then go get it.
Yeah.
I don't think they can. If Russia's got shit that's this crazy, I don't know. I hear he's 82 and he's falling off a bike. Yeah. That was crazy. Okay, this is a famous event from the U.S. government doesn't know either, but with spies, chiefs currently work on a report for Congress, we may learn more soon. So far last week, they said, we're not telling you guys shit. That's the answer again. The first report to be confirmed by the Pentagon dates back to the now infamous event of 2004. It unfolded between the eyes of two warplane pilots from the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz, which was on a routine training mission in the Pacific Ocean off San Diego. Yeah, this one was famous, but they just released it. I think it just got released recently. The footage was shot from the USS Nimitz 6 Super Hornet fighter jets on a routine training mission about 100 miles into the Pacific Ocean when they were diverted to check out an aircraft spotted on radar from a Navy cruiser, the USS Princeton. Two videos showed three encounters between warplanes and what the Navy has officially admitted were unidentified aerial phenomenon. Wow. Commander David Fravor, if you really say it Fravor, it just sounds like I can't say flavor.
It does.
But it's spelled F-A-R-V-O-R. David Fravor.
Scooby-Doo.
No, are you David Fravor? A former U.S. Navy pilot said the objects committed an act of war and performed complex move, which is not natural to any man-made technology. Why not give them permission to shoot then?
Right.
Insisting on authenticity of what he saw on November 10, 2004, this is the pilot, he said, this is not like we saw it and it was gone, or I saw lights in the sky and it's gone. We watched this thing on a crystal clear day with four trained observers. We see this white little tic-tac because we're about 20 feet above it, and it's going north, south, and it's abrupt. The next sighting, or at least the ones we have leaked, have been confirmed, were reported less than 10 years ago. Seven U.S. Navy hazard reports compiled by the U.S. Navy are believed to have taken place between 2013 and 14. So that was another one. The UFO was described as white and colored, approximately the size and shape of a drone or missile in Virginia. Then between 2014 and 15, the U.S. Navy pilots from the USS Theodore Roosevelt spotted strange objects flying at hypersonic speed over the East Coast. This was reported, similar sightings, boom, boom, boom. And then all the ones that I told you about Canada, that they're releasing all that stuff. I think you got to shoot it. Especially if you don't think there's people in it or whatever, anything alive, like it's breathing. If it's just a machine and you want to know what it is. If not, you're just, if it's Putin, Harry, I don't think so.
Maybe.
Then maybe the Chinese, I don't know. But you need to know what's going on, people.
Yeah.
Update! As I drink out of my giant night termite mug.
You look like a Viking.
Update!
Yeah.
Paddles thinks I'm too obsessed with this, but I'm not.
No.
Elizabeth Holmes.
No.
Stop. Jury to hear the faulty, to hear a faulty Theranos test from patients. And I think this is a good thing. So all of these rulings are coming before the trial starts, and they're important, especially if you're going to be into this trial, which I plan on watching all of it if I can. Jurors will be able to hear limited evidence of the Theranos Inc. founder Elizabeth Holmes' wealth, and from customers who said they got faulty blood tests, a judge concluded in a weekend order that will help shape her criminal fraud trial. She faces multiple counts. We know all that about her blood bullshit thing, the testing that didn't work. We know she pleaded not guilty, but here's what they're going to let. Evidence of even one inaccurate result tends to show that Theranos was producing inaccurate results, even if it does not fully prove the point. The judge, however, did restrict the former patients to testifying about the facts of the inaccurate test and the money they lost by paying for it, not about any emotional physical harm that may have been befallen them if they had followed the faulty test's results. The judge could be prejudiced by emotional testimony. For instance, one patient whose test results led her to believe she had miscarried when in fact she was still pregnant. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. This kind of shit is dangerous. Like, this lady, and she's running around on private jets and wearing her black turtlenecks and talking like this. Like, and still fundraising, knowing that these results are bullshit. And what that's actually terrible. You think you miscarried, but the good news is at least you are still pregnant, so you're still happy, but you went through that thing. Like, yeah. I mean, it'd be better than if you said you're still pregnant and you weren't. That would be even worse. But yeah, they're going to let people, and they should. One lady in the show was told she had cancer of this type or that type by the blood test results, and it was complete bullshit, which I'm sure she was happy to see that, but you don't need to be going telling people things that are completely insane. Yeah. So that's just a little update. They're going to allow people to tell their stories, but you can't tell. You just have to give the facts, basically, which is fine. I'm not going to this trial. I have to go to work. Paddle, you saw the schedule. I have to go to work for every Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the rest of my natural life. That's what happens when a pandemic hits and I am told to report to my couch for a year and a half. And my porch swing.
Yeah. Do you remember your jokes?
I don't remember any of my jokes, but I have taped my last two shows that I did. Well, not the very last two, but Knoxville and I don't know.
Chattanooga,
yeah. That Chattanooga, but they were both really fun, but Chattanooga was crazy on fire. I have videos of those, so I'll just go watch those and then I'll just repeat them to myself.
Like a crazy person.
Like a crazy person, yeah. I think I can do it. I think my memory's better than some other comedians, Ron White. Because, you know. Well, he's just older than me. All right, update. Oh my God. So this one is back to Scott Peterson. No. It's not hard. It's just an update, but it's a kind of a big deal because they're thinking about they're reopening the trial. One of California's most notorious murderers will not be executed, meaning the death penalty thing, after his victim's family decided it would be too painful to try and have the punishment reinstated. Scott Peterson discovered on Friday instead he will spend the rest of his life in prison after a prosecutor in Sacramento, California, said there were no plans to have his 2005 death sentence reinstated. It was thrown out after a court ruled jurors should not have been excluded from Peter's Merson trial for being anti-capital punishment. District Attorney so-and-so who made the announcement said Lacey Peterson's family found the legal process simply too painful to endure one more time. And then we know what he did. The family has no doubt Peterson killed his wife and unborn son Connor and deserves the death penalty, but doesn't want to pursue that punishment because it was too painful and too drawn out. Peterson, now 48, in the Sam, was convicted. And his trial was moved to the pre-publicity, blah, blah, blah. Investigators say Peterson took the vote. We know what he did. They say he did. I think he did. Of course, yes, he did. The burglars don't then roll you up in carpet and drive you to fishing. Come on.
No.
This is such horseshit. They just shoot you and leave. A judge is considering whether to grant a new trial for him because a juror failed to disclose it. She had sought a restraining order in the year 2000 against her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend. She said in seeking the order she feared for her unborn child, the judge must decide if the amounted if that amounted to juror misconduct, and if so, whether it was so prejudicial that a new trial is warranted. If no new trial is granted, he will be sentenced to life imprisonment. So there you go. There's your update. Right now, he's still going to, if he gets a new trial, you know, there's a chance, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think they'll do it. I don't think that's enough that it was so prejudicial. But that's just my tiny opinion. Yeah. Oh, my God. I love this story. Well, this is my last update. I think I'm pretty sure. Well, I haven't said update. I didn't do that part. I was saying this is my last update. And then I was going to say update. I think I told you guys about the podcast, Mommy Doomsday.
Yep.
Did I mention that before on this? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's that Lori Vallow guy, lady mm-hmm. with that guy, Chad. And they murdered the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if you guys recall, it's such a good podcast, too, because I like the true crime ones. Then they went to Hawaii and shit. You know, vacationing, took pictures of themselves. You know, here, cheers. Here's some beers in Hawaii. Everything's great. Our kids are gone, cheers. But whatever. They also thought he murdered his wife before this lady. This Lori Vallow, though, is her name. Lori Vallow Daybell. This is fucked up. The Idaho woman recently accused of murdering her children, Tylee Ryan and Joshua, is not competent to participate in continued court proceedings, an Idaho judge ruled on Thursday. They bought somebody, and I'll keep reading, but somebody bought this lady's line of bullshit that she's a cuckoo bird. Well, hey, cuckoo bird, you managed to get to Maui,
right.
And you've got a lay on, and you've got drinks, and come on. I can't believe people fall for this shit sometimes. Vallow Daybell and her husband, Chad Daybell, are also charged in the alleged murder of Chad's ex-wife, Tamara Tammy Daybell, 49 years old.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh. The children's bodies turned up on Chad Daybell's Fremont, Idaho property last year. Tammy Des Daybell was ruled a homicide after her body was exhumed. Chad Daybell originally said his wife died in her sleep, and she was 49.
Oh,
who
God.
Does? I mean, it happens occasionally, but come on. Fremont County, Idaho District Judge so-and-so ordered a stay in the proceedings against Vallow Daybell. He cited a 2021 competency evaluation, which was originally ordered under seal. The evaluation was ordered after the defendant's fitness to proceed was drawn into question by counsel. Oh, you know,
okay.
Every single bit of your behavior before the trial was just a criminal on the run. There's a difference between, and I know competency, there's all those laws, and they've decided that she's not competent, but you were competent enough to bury the kids' bodies, to hide them, to lie to the police, they went around Idaho, then they went to Hawaii. I mean, come on. The court will schedule a hearing on the issue pursuant to IC some code, and the stay in this case remains in effect pending determination of the issue of competency. The order does not give a date for that ruling. So she's just buying time with I'm crazy. Under Idaho law, no person who as a result of mental disease or defect lacks capacity to understand the proceedings against him or her to assist in his own defense shall be tried. So they're saying if you don't have the competency to understand it, yes, she did. She had complete competency.
Yeah.
But yeah, it goes. So that, we don't know. We'll see what happens. But right now, she has convinced someone with her trickery that she is cray-cray. I wouldn't buy it.
No.
Cray-cray to me, if you're not competent to go through this hearing, then you're not competent enough to get on kayak and find tickets to Hawaii, go to the airport.
Kayak.
I mean, that. I just threw that out there. I don't have an advertising thing with them or nothing. Kayak.
Wow.
TripAdvisor.
God.
Okay, I think that's all my updates. This one is, well, first of all, what are we watching? I haven't watched anything new, but I did watch the last episode of Mayor of Easttown, and it was so good. I'm so sorry it's over, but Hacks is still on.
There's it's awesome.
Yeah, and The Godfather of Harlem's over. God damn it. No more Bumpy. So sad.
Bumpy. He'll come back.
I'll watch the hockey playoffs. I'll give me something to watch. But I don't have anything else to recommend right now because I'm out. I've reached the end. That's when it's time to go back to work. I've watched everything I wanted to on Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu.
Oh my gosh.
That's available. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I asked Lewis, he's got nothing new. Even Ron, he usually watches stuff with his mom. He has stuff to tell me. Nothing. Here's a little something, America. Sometimes as a nation, I'm not sure what's wrong with us. Individually and as a group sometimes. The FDA is asking people to avoid eating cicadas if you're allergic to seafood. I know, too, there's people that are going to go, that there's all kinds of countries where people eat bugs. Yeah, we're not one of them. Bugs are never on a menu here. So don't go trying shit.
If you find a bug in your food, sue them.
Right. Here in America, yes, you find bugs, you cause a scene, and you get a free meal there again, which really isn't like a thing. See if there's a recipe. Google how to cook cicadas.
Come on.
Well, I mean, some people are doing it.
How to cook bacon in the oven is the number one.
How to cook bacon in the oven? Yeah. Oh, the fatties, they're getting mad because they're getting yelled at for frying it.
Yeah, can't do it.
Cicadas might.
Yeah. The Washington Post.
The Washington Post tells you.
Spicy
cicadas. Oh, God.
Until golden and crispy.
Fry them?
Yeah. Stirring them with a slotted spoon.
Stirring them with a slotted spoon.
Gross.
All right, here's what it says. Cicadas might seem like a crispy protein-packed snack. No. It's never seemed like that to me. Mm-hmm. I like the noise they make. It makes me feel like, you know, it's summertime and it's hot out, which I like, and the nights are hot. But
not the noise when they're frying.
Yeah, they're all of a sudden their little sweet song goes dark.
That beer is huge.
Mm-hmm. It's a giant mug.
It's great.
They might seem like a crispy protein pack snack, but people with seafood allergies should think twice about eating them. We have to say it, the FDA said in a tweet. Don't eat cicadas if you're allergic to seafood, as these insects share a family relation to shrimp and lobsters. The loud bugs have emerged this month on the East Coast as part of Brood X, which comes every 17 years. We already know about that. Why? Because we listened to this podcast and we knew exactly what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The brittle insects might be annoying, but according to the EPA, cicadas aren't harmful to humans or pets or gardens. If cats or dogs eat them, though, this may temporarily cause an upset stomach or vomiting, but there's no need to worry if your pet eats a small number of cicadas.
Oh,
well, I think cats would. I know my sister's cat. It eats anything that moves,
yeah.
And it kills anything that moves. They don't sting or bite. They're not toxic. Still, their crunchy, crispy skeleton can irritate the stomach lining if eaten in large volumes and can potentially be a choking hazard, especially for small dogs. Okay. There you go, America. America, how you doing? You
don't eat Merc. Bugs.
God.
You learned that as a kid. Don't eat
don't
bugs.
Don't eat bugs, right? Don't eat dirt.
God.
I mean, why do we have to? Who decided? Like, that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another little thing I was going to talk
not
about, termites. I'm not a big tennis fan per se. I was like back in the day, my whole family, we'd watch it when it was like, you know, Chrissy Everett, Martina, all that. And then I don't know what happened. I just lost track of it, I guess. But I have friends that are into tennis. They like to watch all the French Open and all that stuff. And I like the final match, but the timing's always bad too. You wake up and it's fucking over because it's over there somewhere. Wimbledon's over there. French one over there. Australian one, you know. But the little, the young girl, Osaka,
mm-hmm.
I think her first name is Naomi.
She
said she didn't want to do press and that the media made her feel bad about herself. And then immediately everyone jumped on her and they're like, you know, well, if you can't handle it and you can't, and it does fit right into sometimes the Zoomers, Generation Z, they get a bad rap for sort of the stereotypical, I'm not going to do it if I don't like it.
No.
Okay. But sometimes when they'll go, why why do we do that? That's stupid. And sometimes people have never thought, why the fuck are we doing this? Maybe it is stupid. Maybe something has been too institutionalized. So I think you do have to do the press because it's all part of the circular relationship. If we don't have any press about the tennis, then no one knows what happened to the tennis and no one cares what happens to the tennis. And people go, why don't they just play tennis? How do you think you can go play tennis and never have to speak to the media? That's called not being professional. That's called tennis on Saturday. I'll meet you, paddles, bring a racket. Like, but there's, where do they think the prize money comes? The prize money comes from sponsors. And the sponsors, then, they want attention. And we need the media, but for better or worse. So, yeah, I do think she should do it. But if she's really having, in particular, like Rafael Nadal, he said he didn't really care. It doesn't bother him. It wouldn't bother me. So maybe you just let those. And if she is too, because they put up this interview, some British guy was asking the British girl, and she had lost. And his questions were so mean. I mean, and then have to relive. And they have to do it in hockey. Every other sport, you got to go face the media. I get it. But, you know, tennis, it's just you. Like a hockey player could go, well, or baseball, football, well, we didn't play that well, and I made a mistake here, but overall, you know, this is just you. Yeah. Like, let's say I had a shitty show somewhere.
What happened, Kathleen?
Yeah, no, remember that part in the middle where you were going to do those jokes? Clearly you were panicked and jumped into something hackier. I mean, there's a horrible way to present it, and I did watch this video of this man, I don't watch enough tennis shit, asking this British girl these questions, woman, I mean, she's probably 25, and it was just vicious for no point, no reason. So I think it should be on an individual basis. They all can't say no just because they don't want to. You got to keep the wheels moving here. But I really thought the best point that was made, because I feel strongly about this, Chrissy Evert said, I think we need to rethink who is in the question room. The press room, because that, and I watched it happen with comedy. You know, it used to be there's two newspapers in a town and three radio stations that were probably appropriate for whatever you are, whether you're urban or country or whatever. It was all, here's your radio station. So it was all very simple. But then we started getting into the internet, and then we started getting into websites, and then we started getting into bloggers. Mm-hmm. And now this thing about media has expanded to sometimes truly, I will call Lou and say, I think I just spoke to a fan in his underwear in Cleveland. Like, I don't even know who the fuck this guy is. I mean, I don't care. I will basically talk to anyone. But sometimes, like, I'll say to Pam, who does the publicity stuff, Pam, what is this blog? Like, have you looked this up? Am I spending, you know, 45 minutes on a Tuesday when I could be working on my putting or something? You know, who's Chips Ahoy? In Ohio. Like, who are these people? So I, like, Chrissy Evert's point was the definition of that has gotten so loosey-goosey and expanded. Hi, I'm Kathleen from Fucknut Blog. And then people don't even, they just go, okay, what's your question? You're so like a, I think they should limit it to tennis reporters. Maybe a couple ESPN, BBC, Sky News, sport people, but get that back under control. Right. I think it went out of control. And I know because I end up talking to people when I'm working, doing a lot of shows that I'm just like, I don't think that was real.
Who are you?
Yeah. Who are you? Then I look at the stuff Pam writes and I'm like, I don't think you can have a radio station in your house. Well, maybe. I don't know. So it was a good point, but I like that she at least made him rethink it. Yep. Like, why do I have to sit here and listen to you just be such? And I have thick skin as far as what I can listen to, because I would just, if I was pissed, I would end up making a fool out of them. Right. What I would do is if they go, you know, Kathleen, it seemed like you, your serves were mostly not in today. A lot of serves, you're breaking your own serves and you couldn't do A, B, C. I'd be like, you're right. I suck on such a level. I don't even know why I'm fucking here. I don't even know how I got here. I might just go get drunk right now. Like, just make them feel foolish for being so We all saw it. Right. There's a way to ask it, and I'm not saying you have to be sweet.
Right.
But you don't have to be like an attack thing.
Don't be a dick.
So good for her. At least they rethink it. But yeah, at some point, I think you do have to do it, and you can't be the only one that doesn't do it, because everybody else then has to do more of it, which would be like horse shit. That's where it gets into big family stuff. Like, how come he doesn't have to do it and I have to do it?
Right.
If he doesn't have to mow the lawn, then I have to mow more of the lawn. This is bullshit. What's he going to do in place of that? That was no way. Trumpy's better than that. That was more like when we would do each other as dumb. Like me and my siblings. We're like, I don't have to move the lawn. If he doesn't have to move the lawn. Okay. This is a really good story. I like this story. And I can't wait for this to be a movie. And I've always kind of thought there was something going on like this, but I sure didn't know what. So, moving on. Death Row Records founder Suge Knight, now he's in prison, we all know that, paid a hitman from the Nation of Islam to kill rapper Notorious B.I.G. as revenge for the killing of Tupac Shakur, even though the intended target of the 1997 murder was Sean Diddy Combs, it has been alleged. Yeah, because I think there's people who know all this, and I think his mother should get to know. The claims were made by a retired FBI agent who also alleges that corrupt cops from the LA Police Department helped cover up the murder. What? Those claims are backed up by two filmmakers who said they've read the court papers corroborating the allegations. Knight, who's serving a 28-year prison sentence for his 2018 conviction for murder in a hit-and-run case founded by Death Row Records, while Smalls was under contract with rival Bad Boy helmed by Combs. So, you following so far?
Okay,
yeah. It's just who they were with.
Yeah.
Phil Carson, a retired FBI agent who worked the case for 2 years, told the New York Post that the man who pulled the trigger is Amir Muhammad. Muhammad, originally known as Harry Billups, changed his name when he joined the Nation of Islam. He's reportedly reversed his identity and is now known as Harry Billups. He's said to be working in real estate in Georgia. Well, I'm pretty sure we could find that out.
Yeah.
Said to be. Google shit before you write things, people.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up.
What's his name?
Harry Billups.
What a bad
name. B-I-L-L-U-P-S.
Okay, he's right here, real estate.
Real estate?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's not said to be, then he is. Because why? The giggle machine said so.
Mm-hmm.
All the evidence points to...
He's on LinkedIn.
He's on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. All the evidence points to Amir Muhammad, Carson told the Post. He's the one who pulled the trigger. There are plenty of others who helped orchestrate it and allowed him to pull the trigger. Carson's claims are not new. Muhammad has long been suspected of involvement in Wallace's death. The retired agent told the Post that the alleged cover-up was the biggest miscarriage of justice in my 20-year career at the FBI. I had evidence that LAPD officers were involved, and I was shut down by the LAPD and city attorneys inside LA. Daily Mail's reached out to the LAPD and the LA County District Attorney's Office. No comment. Don Sikorsky, the executive producer of the 2018 film City of Lies, say he and director Brad have seen sealed documents from a civil lawsuit filed by Wallace's family against the LAPD nearly 20 years ago. So Notorious B.I.G.'s family sued civilly against and we never heard about that.
Nope.
He told the Post that the unsolved murder is not a riddle. All the answers in black and white. The Post reports that it obtained a 2003 report by the FBI, which supports the allegations made by these guys that are making the movie. Amir Muhammad, a.k.a. Harry Billups, the godparent to LAPD officer David Mack's two children, has been identified by several sources as a trigger man.
Oh.
Yeah. Carson's formal FBI request for an investigation reads, Mack is a registered owner of a 1995 black SS Impala with chrome wheels, the exact description given as being driven by Wallace's shooter. Mack has denied any involvement in Wallace's murder. He was never charged. In 1997, Mack, who had a distinguished career as an LAPD officer, was arrested on bank robbery charges.
What?
Yeah.
God.
He was sentenced to 14 years in prison. Yeah. Carson claims that Combs, the founder of Bad Boy, was the intended target. So they're really going after Sean.
Right.
Combs, a friend of Wallace, was riding in the vehicle ahead of his SUV that was carrying the late rapper on the night he was shot. Carson said that when he told Combs of his findings, P. Diddy was pretty freaked out. Wallace's murder took place 6 months after another unsolved killing, the killing of rapper Tupac Shakur. Tupac was a hip-hop artist. He was gunned down in Vegas in 1996, just hours after he attended the Mike Tyson boxing match. And I believe I was working in Las Vegas that week. His murder was also thought to have been linked to the East Coast-West Coast feud. We know all that. And fueled security worries that Wallace and Bad Boy Entourage from New York would be targeted with a revenge hit. So Tupac is killed. Now they're going out to Vegas, too, for the fight. Or they're going out west, and they think we better, you know, watch our ass, because 6 months later, Wallace was in L.A., where he attended the Soul Train Music Awards. After the show, he left a party in a in a black GMC Suburban. Well, that's my sister has that car. The middle car of a three-vehicle convoy. Soon afterward, his car stopped at a red light on the corner of Fairfax and Wilshire near Carthay Circle. According to witnesses, a black Chevy Impala pulled up next to Wallace's vehicle. A man inside the vehicle was wearing a blue suit and bow tie. Well, the bow tie. Not everybody who wears a bow tie is in the Nation of Islam, but many Nation of Islam people wear bow ties. Like, I don't think Tucker Carlson is part of the Nation of Islam, but he really seems to enjoy a bow tie.
Yeah.
So the man inside the blue suit and bow tie fired several rounds into the car. Wallace was shot four times. His first three shots were not fatal, but the fourth damaged vital organs. He was rushed to Cedars-Sinai, where he was pronounced dead. Carson told the Post that Wallace's driver, Greg G. Money, did not have much security experience. Yeah, shouldn't have stopped. According to Carson, instead of stopping at the red light, Young should have sped through, especially at that late of an hour, 12:40. Yep, 10 to 1 in the morning. Yep. Biggie became a stationary target. Yep. Carson said, but see, I don't know why Biggie wouldn't have said step on it. Even if you have to go around a stop car.
Get going.
Let's go. You can't be sitting here. Carson said that eyewitness testimony points to Muhammad, a friend of Mac, as the killer. So this guy that's doing the real estate, Harry Billups, a.k.a. Amir Muhammad, is BFFs with the cops. One cop, at least. Mm-hmm. Though he was briefly considered a suspect, he was never charged. They agreed with Carson that Muhammad was responsible. When you read the sealed documents, there's overwhelming evidence that paints for you exactly who did the murder and why the LAPD covered it up. Carson believes Suge Knight paid Muhammad, Mack, and another cop, Rafael Perez, all of whose names were mentioned in the Wallace's family's wrongful death lawsuit against the city. Suge Knight financed the murder. Suge was ticked off that his cash cow, Tupac, had been murdered. Mm-hmm. Suge had an accountant that was part of Death Row Records who helped the financial thing to pay for the murders. It is not known how much Knight allegedly paid to have Wallace murdered. According to Carson, Knight was motivated to target Wallace and his entourage because of a lingering suspicion that a bodyguard for Combs, Anthony Wolf Jones, shot and killed a friend, Jake Robles, at a party in Atlanta in 1995. Now it's getting too complicated. Now we're going too far back about who shot who. But no charges were brought in that case. Jones was fatally shot in Atlanta in 2003, a former bodyguard. In 2018, Knight was sentenced. We know that. He was arrested in 2015 when he killed the guy in the hit and run in the movie Straight Out of Compton, which was a great movie if you've never seen it. Holy shit. City of Lies star, that's the movie, another movie involving this, stars Johnny Depp and Forest Whitaker. Depp plays a real-life LAPD detective, Russell Poole, who pursues the Wallace motivation, but is frustrated by his superiors. In the film, Poole joins forces with fictional reporter, played by Whitaker, in search for answers. The film was originally slated, blah, blah, blah. So this guy, but then the question is, if Suge paid that cop and then that guy to kill him, how much did he pay him and why is the man robbing a bank later? You shouldn't have to need to rob a bank if you took money from Suge. I don't know, but I can't wait.
Dirty Money.
Yeah, it should be on Dirty Money.
It's Dirty Money.
Here's a little news item. This is so fucked up. I don't even know I don't even know how I feel about it. John Hinckley Jr., that's the man who shot Reagan, mm-hmm. tried to kill him. More importantly, though, he shot James Brady.
He went after Jodie Foster, too.
No, he wasn't trying to kill Jodie.
No,
he's trying to impress her.
I know.
He loves Jodie Foster. But the damage he did to James, Reagan recovered, but James Brady, I mean, that was just, he didn't die, but he was just, it was an awful, awful, awful rest of his life from getting shot. I think he got shot in the head and other places, and it was just bad, bad, bad. Anyway, John Hinckley Jr., who tried to kill President Ronald Reagan to impress actress Jodie Foster and then spent 35 years in a psychiatric hospital, has now been posting videos of himself performing love songs on YouTube. You know,
Jody? Are they to Jody?
No. I went and watched them. Why? Because what do I do here? The Lord's work. That's right. I'm taking hits for you people left and right. I'm buying shit I won't even eat anymore just so you don't have to. I wasted a whole cracker on that, a multigrain cracker. He lives at home with his mother.
Okay.
They released him. But then I'm like, how old's your mom? Yeah. He's 66. Even if she was 20 when she had him, mm-hmm. that's 86. Mama ain't going to live forever. Mm-hmm. And then we got Cuckoo Bird Johnson sitting here making yeah. crazy songs. Hinckley, 66, went to court last year for permission to display his artwork and disseminate his music under his own name.
Wow.
He appears to have wasted no time trying to make a different kind of name for himself. He created a YouTube channel where he posts covers of standards like Bob Dylan's Blowing in the Wind and Elvis's Can't Stop Falling in Love with You, as well as a number of original songs, most of which are about romance. Okay.
Okay.
I think there's one person in this country who gets a say-so in it, and it's Jodie
Foster. Yeah.
Because if I knew this guy was out, I mean, who's to say he's still not obsessed?
Right.
It would just fuck you up. This guy was willing to shoot and kill people to get my attention if you're her.
The president.
The president. Yeah, well, you're going to do it. You got to go big. What do you do, Joe? You're not going to kill somebody at that speedway.
Right.
Hey, she'll never hear about that. He had to go big. If you want, if he wants people to know, you know, shoot for the stars. Isn't that what Ed McMahon used to say on Star Search?
Totally.
Shoot, aim for the stars. Shoot for the stars. I don't remember. I don't think this is fair to Jodie Foster.
No.
I don't know Jodie Foster, but I bet she's not happy about this. Because then I'd think, okay, well, he's at his mom's house. What's to prevent him from taking the car keys and driving to California?
Right.
I'm sure you can find her address.
Where
don't.
Does mom live?
Where does his mom live? Mm-hmm. I think somewhere like in Virginia, somewhere on the East Coast, I think. In one song, titled Majesty of Love, Hinckley strums a guitar and sings wistfully that when every couple settles down, goodness will be found. And over the negativity, there's still you and me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he reportedly discusses the possibility of dating, though some argue it was far too risky for him. In the 5 months since he's been uploading videos, he's racked up more than 1,900 subscribers. And the comments on his songs are overwhelmingly positive.
So,
somebody wrote this. You may have missed with Reagan, but this one's a hit. they're kidding. These things are terrible. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some posted recommendations for potential covers for him to record. These music videos are recorded in what appears to be a bedroom decorated with a number of clocks.
Oh,
nothing weird about that.
No, what's he counting down to?
I don't know. I saw him, though. You can see him in the video. The channel doesn't provide any biographical information about Hinckley or make any reference to his notorious history. On March 30th, 1981, he opened on fire on Reagan outside a D.C. hotel, hitting him in the lung and wounding three other people, including Press Secretary James Brady. That's why we have the Brady gun laws and all that stuff. But I don't know. Who decided he's better? Some psychiatric people, I suppose, but I don't know. Who's the richest person in the world? Moving on. Do you know? I think I know, and I never know. I thought it was Elon Musk.
Satoshi.
It's not Satoshi, the Bitcoin guy.
Shit.
They're not even sure Satoshi exists.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. The richest person, this was as of May 24th, 2001. I never even heard of this guy. Bernard, I'll say it like the French way, Bernard Arnault, A-R-N-A-U-L-T. Because the world's richest person, as LV8MH. Stock rises. This guy, what a great job. This guy works for Forbes. Mm-hmm. He's a staff writer. His job is billionaires. Yep. I cover the work and wealth of Europe's richest. Wow. That would be an awesome job.
That'd be fun.
He's a French fashion tycoon, Bernard Arnault. I thought the Arnault was a car. Is the world's richest person this Monday morning with an estimated net worth of what? What? See, we all should know this to wake up and give ourselves termite goals.
What?
Well, this kind of money is ridiculous. Yeah. He's worth $186
billion.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Putting him $300 million above Jeff Bezos, who's worth $186 billion, and Elon Musk is worth $147
billion. Wow.
But if you're Jeff Bezos, that money still ain't getting you hair. You're still bald.
Yep. That lady still hates you.
That lady hates you. Yeah. Bernard. I must say Bernard is kind of cute. I mean, he's an older guy, but he looks like a French guy. He's like cute. Arnold's fortune jumped from $76 billion in March to $186 billion on Monday. A massive rise of over $110 billion in the past four, thanks to a pandemic-defying performance by his luxury group. Here's what this means, that LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Moët, Hennessy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
That company, LVMH, also owns, like, this is a shit we're never told because we're not the rich people.
No.
They also own all this stuff. Fendi, Christian Dior, Givenchy. Yeah. They represent the remarkable rise of Europe's luxury and fashion houses during the lockdown, pushed by the momentum of shoppers in China. According to Jefferies analyst Flavio so-and-so, LVMH recorded a revenue of $17 billion for the first quarter in 2021, up 32% compared to the same period in 2020.
That's crazy.
Yeah. All because of the super rich, the pandemic didn't do for a number. I didn't know this either. This is just crazy what these rich people do. There's also a super rich guy in Mexico named Carlos Slim. And then I think, are you responsible for Slim Jims? Because I love a Slim Jim.
Money for you.
No, it's not the same thing. Yeah, he was on the top of the deal for a while. For a number of years at the start of the century, the richest Europeans were Aldi founders. The grocery.
Yeah.
Theo and Carl Albrecht of the budget supermarket fame. I did not know that the Aldi was a European deal.
I didn't either.
They made it to the top 10, but they never claimed the number one. Yeah, Bernard is he's the third richest person. He took over Bezos, blah, blah, blah. Since the start of the pandemics, the networks of the richest world's richest people have fluctuated wildly, with many jumping into the billions. Blah, blah, blah. So there you go. Now you know. Wow. What a great gig, too. Just to report on the super rich. It'd just be like every day being part of lifestyles and rich and famous. I don't own any Louis Vuitton. My mom owns a fake one. If you'd like to see that story, you can go watch somewhere online. Or my Comedy Central. This is not happening. Our experience in the rich world of fashion. The Louis Vuitton Papillon bag is what my mom wanted. But she didn't want the real one. She was fine if I just got a fake one. Whatever. It's a funny story, and every single bit of it is true. And there's a lot more to that story that I didn't have time to tell, and I really hadn't ever done it on stage. So I was kind of nervous. Next week, not going to get into it this week because there's too much to the story.
Okay.
But I have learned so much. We're going to talk about Ellie Kemper next week. And she's a lady who I had no idea lived on Earth. She's an actress. And she was in The Office. I've never seen an episode of it. No offense. It's just not. Haven't. To the people in The Office. And The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, I think. Mm-hmm. So apparently she's popular.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't keep up with all these what do these young people do? There's been a big hoopty-ha on Twitter because she was the winner in she's from St. Louis. She's one of Missouri's richest families. I didn't know any of this. Well, I don't even know her, so why would I know any of that? But she was the an event, a coming out debutante ball in St. Louis, which, I mean, that's so progressive right there.
Did you have one?
No, I don't get to go. We weren't rich. To have a coming out party, go to a ball. I always thought they were awful. I'm like, you're just being paraded like cattle. Your dad just brings you in and go, this one's kind of cute, huh? I'm going to put her up. She's available. Hello. Yeah. It's so archaic that it's almost even hard to get angry about. But I'm going to go into that big time next week because people were posting some really crazy shit on Twitter. Like, oh, look at the queen of the KKK ball. Okay. They don't have a direct link to the KKK.
Allegedly.
But you were getting close. The founder of the whole deal that we're going to be talking about, Confederate soldier, another Confederate soldier. Yeah. No blacks, no Jews. And I said, I thought, they let Catholics in, and my mom goes, only a few. That's why we decided to come up with our own debutante ball called the Fleur de Lis. So, yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Like, if you're her and you plan on trying to be an actor, I maybe sat that one out. But I wouldn't want to go anyway. I don't like that kind of. It's just so archaic. It's parading the women around, like, you know, it's this year's cattle auction, and here's who's available. And then the rich guys show up, and they go, oh, I like that one. That one. They don't get to just take one. I mean, you can't just buy people.
It's not a draft.
Right. It should be a draft. Oh, my God. But we're going to talk. But so if you guys want to Google that ahead of time, it's called the Vail Prophet Fair. And then I got, and really, well, I'll go into it next week because there's a lot. But anyway, this one intrigued me. You know how I like weird art shit. Mm-hmm. This is the biggest legal fight the art world has ever seen. And it seems like we hear that every week.
Every week.
I know. But this one, holy crap, smackdown. A Russian oligarch who claims he was ripped off by buying multi-million dollar pieces versus a Swiss art dealer who says it was just business. Well, here's what I say to you, Philly beef and Swiss cheese. You better watch your ass, because if you pissed off a Russian oligarch, that's not good for you.
No.
No. Remember the dude who got poisoned and turned blue on the airplane?
Yep.
They do shit like that.
Quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now they got him in a gulag, and God knows what they're doing to that poor guy. Now, after 6 years of lawsuits in multiple jurisdictions, the tables appear to be turning once more in a saga so dramatic it's even been given a name worthy of a movie script, The Bouvier Affair. Here's what's crazy. Why do we hear this? Most of this, we're fighting over a painting we don't even know is real.
What?
Yep. Russian fertilizer tycoon Dmitry Rybolovlev has pursued Swiss art dealer and Freeport storage magnate Yves Bouvier around the world for years in various courts, claiming to have been swindled out of $1.2 billion on 38 exorbitantly priced artworks sold to him by Mr. Bouvier over the course of a decade. Okay, if it's one painting and you feel you got ripped off, I think you have an argument.
Mm-hmm.
You bought from this guy for a decade,
yep.
38 times. Mm-hmm. You were overcharged and didn't notice.
Right.
That's on you. Sorry, Dmitry. You're a moron. You're a goddamn moron. You know, it's like sometimes you think you do overpay for something and you kind of beat yourself up about it. You're like, I probably should have waited. But the 38th time, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
If this guy's selling it and you're willing to buy it and then you return, so you must have been happy with your purchase.
Right.
You coming back. It's not like, you know, it's not like saying I'm never going to go to Target again. You have to at some point, right? He didn't ever have to go back to get another painting from Mr. Bouvier.
Bouvier.
I like saying the French word like that.
Yeah, Bouvier.
Eve Bouvier. I took French in high school. Bouvier. In a new twist, Mr. Bouvier has told CNN he's preparing his own billion-dollar damage counter lawsuit against Mr. I'll call him Dimitri. I can't pronounce his last name. It's too hard. Ribolovlev. After taking action in Singapore in February, alleging a long-running court battle with Dimitri has ruined his business and his reputation. So he's saying, all your bad-mouthing is ruining my business. Mm-hmm. Well, you did make $1.2 billion off of him.
True.
Yeah. The cases have so far kept an army of lawyers and reputation managers employed on either side as one allegation after another one is leveled by each party, including claims of intimidation and political intrigue. Mm. Fittingly, the tortuitous imbroglio also involves some of the most priceless and controversial pieces of art. This is the one. Including the 2013 purchase of what is now known as the world's most expensive painting. It's called the Salvatore Mundi, thought by some to be the work of Leonardo da Vinci, despite years of debate over its authenticity. Okay, so here we go again. Is this really a da Vinci or one of his students, or did he kind of help, or
paid by number?
Right? Maybe it's the guy from The Joy of Painting, Bob Ross. A work on Mr. He made more than 50% markup when he sold Salvatore Mundi.
Wow.
8 years later, after the painting had been restored and declared the work of the Renaissance master, Mr. Bouvier bought it for $104 million after enlisting the help of a poker player to beat down the price. The dealer swiftly sold it, so he paid $104. Then he sold it to Dimitri, his client, for $165.
Wow.
Uh-huh. After a while, the oligarch later auctioned the painting off for an astonishing $582 million in 2017 to a secret buyer now widely believed to be Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. He nonetheless alleges that Mr. Bouvier defrauded him, a claim Mr. Bouvier denies. This is so fucked up. Well, I don't know why the Russian guy's bitching. If you sold it to, you paid $165 and you just sold it for $582 to the Saudi Crown Prince. Well, what's your problem?
Right.
He declined to be interviewed, Dimitri, but a spokesman said these matters are being fought in court and we expect to prove what happened and that Mr. Bouvier's fanciful story is false. For now, what is notable is that Sir Bouvier does not dispute. As an art advisor, he pretended to help his clients assemble an art collection at the cost of $2.5 billion, while secretly reaping half of that price for himself. Well,
You bought it.
Yeah. You're an idiot. Mm-hmm. It's like me going to a car lot. I don't even understand what it's supposed to cost.
You're not allowed to do that anymore.
No.
No.
Yet Mr. Bouvier does dispute that he was ever an art advisor, a matter that seems to have been at the heart of litigation and allegations by Dimitri says is breach of trust. I am an art dealer. Big difference. You're going to trust the guy that's selling it to also educate? No, you have to have a different person for that.
Third party.
Right. The contracts prepared by Dimitri's lawyers and all my invis explicitly describe me as the seller. Yeah. Dimitri has never managed to convince a single judge or prosecutor otherwise in any jurisdiction for the simple reason that his allegations do not match reality. Salvatore Mundi, meanwhile, hasn't been seen since a record-breaking sale. See, and this is bad shit. Some Saudi crown prince has it, and now, if it is real, we'll never see it again.
Nope.
The world. But it has been back in the headlines after a French documentary claimed in April that the painting had been at the center of a diplomatic spat between Paris and Rida, amid doubts over its authenticity and a request by the kingdom that it be shown in the Louvre. The documentary, The Savior for Sale, an anonymously high-ranking French official claims that Prince Bin Salam was adamant that the Salvatore Mundi be displayed next to the Mona Lisa. Okay, that'd be not nice. In order to solidify its place as an authentic Leonardo. Oh, well, he's just doing it
right, so
he doesn't feel like a dumb shit.
Exactly.
And then he'll take it away from us. And what if the odds should be there on that day?
Right. Never.
It's always hard to get there. Despite ongoing questions about whether the work is entirely by the Italian master, the French government ultimately decided not to exhibit the painting under the Saudis' conditions, which the anonymous official said the film would be akin to laundering a piece that cost $582 million. Even with the painting out of the public eye, art historians and experts have continued to debate whether Salvador Mundi is authentic, an authentic Leonardo, or whether he merely contributed to a painting that was predominantly executed by his workshop. His elves did this.
Right.
Right. But it was Leonardo's elves. That's
Leonardo's
pretty cool.
Elves. I like it.
I'm not paying $582 million. No. I act like I could even pay one. The difference could affect its value by hundreds of millions of dollars, given there are fewer, I did not know this, there are fewer than 20 authenticated Leonardo da Vinci paintings in the world. And I'm going to bet the Pope's got 19 of them.
Fewer than
20? Yeah. There's at least, I know there's some.
They all live in the Vatican.
Yeah, I think the Catholic Church sitting on quite a few of those. It's just a crazy. They're saying it's so heavily restored, a dealer wrote, that expert doubted the work was entirely completed by Leonardo himself, and neither the Vatican nor any major world museum has expressed interest in acquiring it. Oh. The hands are the best preserved bits, reads Mr. Bouvier's email. In 2013, the rest of it has largely been restored. He writes that any buyer who acquires this painting that no one wants to at too high a price will be seen as a pigeon and could be the laughing stock of the market and will lose credibility given the low proportion of that appears to have been painted by Leonardo himself. So this guy said that.
Right.
What more do you want to hear? Mr. Bouvier nonetheless arranged to borrow the Salvador Mundi with an $82 million deposit from Sotheby's. He claimed that he arranged it to be delivered to to Dimitri's penthouse in Manhattan in a black document holder. What? What are these people doing with all this money for this kind of...
It's theatrics.
Yeah. It gets way too detailed than all we needed to know. But basically, there are people that are... This is what fascinates me. There's people that are so rich... They're outbidding one another on shit they don't even know is real.
Fake art.
Right? Yeah, and it's not even that.
They're mad about
it. It's an interesting painting. It's an interesting painting, but to me, it looks like something I would see in a Catholic grade school hallway, or it's just, you know, like a serious religious person. It could be probably in the cafeteria at a Catholic school. I don't know. Yeah, there's going to be a, author and filmmaker Ben Lewis, who had a book in 2019, The Last Leonardo, details the drama. Oh, I won't get that. There's a book about all this. The Last Leonardo details the drama surrounding the Salvador Mundi. I never even heard of it until I read this article. The public fight between Mr. Bouvier and Dimitri lifts the veil on the art market's ugly side. Yeah. I'm not going to go through the rest of it. It's too long and involved. But we should go. I'm going to go read that book.
Yeah, put it in the show notes.
Yep. Show notes. Show notes.
Put it in the show notes.
Okay, termites. That was fun, right?
Totally.
Yeah. It's raining here. That's fine. It's good napping weather. Yeah. And that's really all I got for you. Thanks for my little presents. You guys don't ever have to do that. I like doing this. I will keep doing it as long as I can if I don't, unless I get too busy.
P.O. Box 663.
Hermitage, Tennessee.
37076.
37076. It'll be in the show notes. All right, termites. Have yourself a good
Tuesday,
right? And rest of the week. And until we meet again, termites, we will now say in my giant mug as if I'm Henry VIII. Something. He wouldn't say night night, termite. I could see Henry saying, "Everyone to bed."
Shut up.
Bring me the jester. Where's the funny one? Makes me giggle. It's the one that made me giggle. All right, I'm losing it, termites. That's it. Night night, termites. Bye bye.